Hear the word of God. 2 Kings 6, 8, once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not go past that place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." It was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike this people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led him in to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." So the Lord opened the eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down?" He answered, "You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have not taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master, and the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. This the word of the living God. Thanks be to God. Beloved in the Lord, we come to this passage where the king of Syria is at war with Israel, and some strange things are taking place. Every time I read this passage, I get a bit of a laugh out of the statement that's made by one of the servants of the king. He says, this Elisha guy there in Israel, this prophet, he's telling the king of Israel what you say in your bedroom. Now think about that. Do you want somebody to know what's going on in your bedroom? Elisha, the prophet, the servant of the Lord, was telling the king of Israel exactly what the plans were of the Syrian king. And this frustrated the king of Syria, because Elisha always knew where the deployment of the troops would be. He advises the king of Israel, because even the pillow talk is reported in Samaria, so that the king of Israel knows exactly what to do. And it tells us that he avoided the plans many times. This was a new experience for this Aramaean king. He served gods that could not see, that could not hear. In fact, the mythology of ancient Syria, like that of the Canaanites, depicted gods that could actually control very little. Their gods were imaginary, of course, and a product of their own imagination, but they were gods in the minds of their people who could do very little. And they were often at war with one another and engaged in their own struggles to survive. And you have the stories of all of these gods that are fighting one another in the annals of history. And this Aramean king knew nothing, however, about the God who is the true God, and the God from whom nothing is hidden. In fact, everything he said in his bedroom was revealed and known by the living God. And in this passage, Elisha becomes a one-man intelligence operation and a one-man army. He represents the chariots of Israel and the horsemen of Israel. And the servant of the Lord, of the Lord's prophet, however, did not see as clearly as Elisha did. But he's given insight into this passage, behind the scenes activity of what is going on in terms of the armies of the hosts of heaven. And he is going to see that what Scripture teaches is this, as the hymn writer has put it, our God reigns. He needed to see that. And that was the answer to the prayer that Elisha prayed when he said, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see our God reigns. So as we look at this passage, I want you to see in it that we're going to see Elisha telling his servant about God's purpose, God's protection, God's power, God's great purpose for his people, his protection of his people, and his power over all things, in particular his power for protecting, guiding, and preserving his people. First of all, let's look at his purpose for his people. Israel was the chosen of God. God had promised Israel that they would be his people. And he told them in the book of Deuteronomy and other places as well, don't be faint-hearted or afraid when you go into this land, because the Lord is going to be there to fight against your enemies and do what? Verse 20 or chapter 20 in Deuteronomy says, the Lord will fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. There is power in the Lord, and he is going to give victory to the Israelites. Now the Israelites are fighting with the Syrians. That's how this particular passage opens. It says that the king of Syria was warring against Israel. He was persecuting them. Did Israel remind themselves of Deuteronomy 23 and 4? The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will give you victory. It seems that they had forgotten that. But they were at least given some relief from some of this by Elisha the prophet, who was doing his one-man job of telling the king of Israel what to watch out for, where not to go, get your troops away from there because the king of Syria is going to be there. And it happened over and it happened over and over and over again. And so the Syrian monarch gets a tad bit displeased. He brings his advisors together and he asks them, okay, who's on the side of the Israelites? And they said, no one. But the answer to his question is ultimately that Elisha is the one that is doing all of this. And so the Syrian monarch decides, I'll fix that. If this Elisha is doing all of this, let's go and capture him. And what does he do? He dispatches an entire army of commandos to capture the person responsible for ruining his plans over and over again to attack Israel. And the commando army executes a perfect plan. As we read that passage, as we go through it, it says they went at night. They surrounded Elisha in the city. In fact, they surrounded him so much so that in the morning when the prophet's servant got up to go out and get the newspaper and bring in the coffee, for Elisha the prophet. He looked out and the army of the Syrians completely surrounded the city of Dothan and the prophet Elisha. But God's purpose was not going to be defeated by this Syrian army. In fact, God's purpose overcomes the Syrian army. God knew Ben-Hadad's battle plans. God knew that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was going to send his army to Dothan. And the king of Syria was the only one who didn't know what was happening. In fact, he was the one who did not take into consideration the true and the living God, because God was completely acquainted with Ben-Hadad and all of his thoughts. His thoughts, even what he said in his bedroom. God knew everything. So God's purposes are not going to be turned aside because God is upon the throne. He rules over all. When things looked insurmountable to Israel and to Elisha and to this servant as well, and the obstacles were overwhelming, they should have been reminded that God is there and his strength is perfect when we are weak. That's what Scripture teaches. Israel should have known that they were not in danger. The church is never in danger because God is there. God is not in danger. Therefore, our faith is not in danger because God's word cannot be silenced. It was not silenced in the days of Israel when they were in Egypt. Remember in Egypt when God brought Joseph to Egypt. And what did God do in his powerful purpose? He made Joseph, the one who was in the prison, he brought him to the pinnacle. He brought him to rule over all of Egypt. Why? Because God had a purpose for the people of Israel, and Egypt would not defeat that purpose. Elisha, in this passage, is in the hands of the Syrian army. He is completely surrounded. But it did not matter because God's purpose was going to take place. His sovereign purpose and will be accomplished because his redemption and his salvation for his people is something that he is going to carry through. And that should remind you, that should remind me, that we are not in danger. Why are we not in danger? Because simply this, God is on the throne. When it gets really discouraging, you should reflect on his lordship and his sovereign purposes and direct your faith to him. Because by faith we understand that his word will not be silenced in the lives of his people, and his purposes simply cannot fail. God is on the throne, and he has come to you, and he has come to me, and he has come to meet us in our lives, in time and space and history, and he has revealed himself to us in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is his purpose, to make Jesus known in our lives and in our hearts. And as he does so, he shows his purpose, but also his protection. As we look at this passage before us, we see the protection of Elisha, the prophet, and we see the protection of Elisha's servant as well. The Syrian king had sent an entire army to capture one man. He wanted to do it stealthily. How did he do it? He sent them at night. He wanted to surprise and capture the lone prophet of God. But the king of Syria did not reckon with one thing. He did not reckon with God. He did not reckon with God, who was protecting his people and protecting his servant Elisha, because his people are his beloved. We find that all throughout Scripture. God's people are those whom he calls his beloved. And he guards and he protects his servant Elisha. He guards him because Elisha was the servant of God. And as the servant of God, God had a purpose for Elisha. and God would protect him against all things, in fact, even against an army. I would imagine that Elisha might have even known these words of Psalm 27. If he didn't know them from Psalm 27, he certainly knew the truth. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Think of that verse for a moment. Though an army encamp against me, look around you. There's an army surrounding you. And yet, the psalmist says, my heart shall not fear. I don't know about you, but I would fear an army if it surrounded me, wondering, what are they going to do? Are they going to send in the missiles? Are they going to come in with spears? What are they going? I don't know what they're going to do. And even in the day of Elisha, the day in which this army surrounded him, the sun might have reflected off of the Syrian spears that were all standing there surrounding him and his servant. And it frightened the servant of the prophet of God nearly to death. He was frightened. Alas, my master, what shall we do? Is that what we say as well? Because our problems are similarly frightening. Sometimes we don't have the answers. Will we have the money to continue? Will we have the ability? What happens if our health fails us? What will we do? This army of problems surrounds us. And the list of problems can be as long and as many as the Syrian spears that surrounded Elisha. But what Elisha did was not altogether unique. In fact, what Elisha did was a recognition of the fact that he knew something that his servant did not know, and he needed to know that God was protecting him. And God protected him, and God could have done that in many ways. In fact, God could have sent one angel, and that one angel could have come. It tells us here that he sent horses and chariots, but he could have sent an angel. What if he sent one angel? How could that angel have done it? Well, one angel killed the firstborn of every unbelieving Egyptian family. One angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. We read that in 2 Kings chapter 19. One angel killed 70,000 in Israel in judgment on David's sin until the angel stopped the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite, the site that God appointed as an altar to the Lord. What can one angel do? One angel can do a great deal. But God didn't send an angel. He sent chariots of fire, which had been seen when Elijah, the prophet, ascended into heaven. And notice it said he sent hosts of angels, not one. Hosts of angels that were witnesses of God's power, God's judgment, and God's strength. And then God opened the eyes of the servant of Elisha the prophet for a glimpse of the reality of the power and the judgment of God. It was folly to think that God would fail those whom he had called to stand by his side. God will never fail you. He will never fail his servants. He will never fail in the promises of his word. He will always be there to be the sovereign God. He is sovereign and he is Lord. And what this servant of Elisha needed to do was he needed to see by spiritual enlightenment the power of God to protect God's people. Here was Elisha's servant, the freshman in the service of the great man of God, wondering, has God failed us? Was his word powerless? What do you think went through this servant's mind that morning as he got up after breakfast or before breakfast, went outside, got the paper, came back in and said, oh boy, we are in trouble. They're surrounded us. But Elijah knew better. He knew what the servant did not see. Elijah knew what this servant needed to see, and he prayed that the servant would see something that he could not now see, but he would. The armies of the hosts of heaven that surrounded Elisha, that were standing between Elisha and the armies of Ben-Hadad. Two armies, the Syrian army, but the army of God. And the ones that are surrounding Elisha, Elisha says, those that are with us are more than those who are with them. In other words, God protects you because God dwells with you, because God says, you are mine, you are my people. And he says that to the church. He says that to you and to me today. He says that he is our God. And it says in Scripture, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Is there an army surrounding us of the enemy? He may be there, but that army is nothing in comparison to he who is in you, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It would no doubt have been brought to the mind of the servant of God, that verse from the Psalms, though an army besiege me, my heart would not fear. Elisha could sit there calmly and quietly, sipping his morning coffee. And I'm sure he was sipping morning coffee that he got from his coffee maker, and it was hot as could be. Looking at his newspaper, reading the Dothan Gazette, checking on what's going on in the community, and then the servant comes in. He was not calm, and when he came in, far from being calm, he just went to pieces. But Elisha did not, because Elisha knew his God. He knew the angelic hosts were present. He knew it by faith. He knew that he was surrounded by a host of those who could defeat any. He knew that there was no imminent personal danger. He knew he was safe, because all believers are safe in the hands of God. And Elisha knew the presence of God in the midst of the armies of heaven surrounding him and comforting him with that knowledge of his sovereign presence. We need to be reminded of that ourselves. We need to remember we are not alone. The Master is there. He will never forsake you. He will never depart from you. He is always there. He is faithful, and he will always protect you, keep you, and nothing can separate you from that love of God. Who can remove it? Who can take you away? What fear, what doubt, what apprehension? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what the servant of Elisha needed to see, and he is given that in the miracle of grace. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. He needed to see with open eyes the truth of God's word, that God is there, that God's word never fails. He needed to have a word from the Lord, and he receives that word from the Lord in the power and in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's power is demonstrated. Elisha's servant needed to be touched by that power. God delivers his people by his power. God delivers this servant of God, and God delivers Elisha, the one-man army, to lead the helpless Syrians into the presence of Israel's king. The passage ends with that, where he brings them into Samaria, and he takes them there. But first he says, Lord, make them blind. He makes them blind. And he says, but I'll take you to where you want to go. I'll bring you to the one that you want to see. The one that you want to see is me. But he brings them into Samaria, and then he says, Lord, open their eyes. And their eyes are opened, and they are helpless. An army that is helpless because of the power of God. And their helplessness, their hopelessness, is demonstrated very powerfully in this passage, especially in the last words of verse 23. Just an insignificant comment. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Why? Because the power of God is at work. A seemingly insignificant verse in the Bible mentions the profound fact that God's power is able to keep his word, establish his people. No more war with Syria. God put a stop to it. Why? Because God's in charge. God delivers his people, the ones who belong to him. Jesus even promises that to us. He says, no one can pluck you out of my hand or out of the Father's hand. No one can be separated from the love of God because God's power is there. And he promises the comfort of that power to us, his people. And here is the word for you and for me today. God is still upon his throne. He still is powerful on behalf of his people, the church, today, as he was in the day of Elisha. And we need to look to the power of God by faith and to the promises of God for direction for the road that we walk in the life that we live, reminding ourselves that God is still upon the throne. Jesus is Lord. He is King. He is the one who displays his power, and he enables us by his grace to live for him. So see him as King. See him as Lord. Remind yourselves that they that are with us are more than those that are with them. And if we see these things by faith, by the eye of faith, then let us pray that we may have our eyes opened to see the glory of the armies of the Lamb of God and the Son of God seated in glory upon the throne of grace. And may we give God the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray.